Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. Up in the captain's chair, broadcasting live from the Gene Bosch studio on the magical isle of Vashon. I am indeed back with you and up in the chair, and am able to speak in a short and pithy lengths, and I will be stopping periodically to take a sip of restorative fluid to make sure that I can keep on talking for the entire half hour. And there will be an update on where we are and where we're headed and a number of other things that we will cover because, of course, I was not with you last week. And instead, I was in a conference with a cancer surgeon who is going to do the surgery. And we started late. We went on long. And he is a Korean, Dr. Kim. And I got to tell a story of contact that I had with some Republic of Korea troops in Vietnam. So he will be the one that's doing the work, and he is ably assisted by a lovely PA named Danielle, and I have great confidence in him. When we get to the Benicaloost, I'll give you a little bit more information about the administrative mess that is going on and what I'm doing about it. But in the meantime, my traditional greetings today go out to all of new listeners to be up with me from the captain's chair. I know that I have some, and if they listen as they declared that they would, then they are given special greetings. But as always, my greetings go out to all of Captain Joe's people all over the world. And with gratitude for your constant attention and concern and affection, regard, and respect. For that always am I most always grateful. Many of you are people who did not go to sea with me. Many of you are people who were not shipmates with me in Vietnam. Many of you are people who have just liked the way that I try and mostly am able to fulfill the mission of this program, which is for everyone to feel just a little bit better about themselves and the world in which we live, for at least the half hour that we are able to spend together. The Benicaloost today, first of all, I am going to report that the loss of a Coast Guard flag officer who was also a personal friend, and that was Vice Admiral Howie Thorson. Admiral Thorson was a year ahead of me at the Academy, and was a wearer of Wings of Gold, whereas I, of course, am a longtime and multiple cutterman. But we were friends over the years and touched fingertips every so often as our careers crossed. And then later on, he became one of the founding fathers of the Foundation for Coast Guard History. He was one of the great gentlemen of our service, and his obituary is included in the magazine for today, which is called The Cutter, which is the newsletter for the Foundation for Coast Guard History, which I will get to in a few minutes. The other one is I have lost another one of my Academy classmates. There are only six of us who are now left who are able to go to the 70th reunion of my Academy class, and I am not one of those six. However, once I see how the treatment plan is going to go, I am going to make a decision, and if I'm able, I will indeed add my name to the sailing list for those of us who are going to be at the Academy for our 70th anniversary of our graduation and going out into the Coast Guard fleet. The other one that I'm going to recognize is Colonel Lindsey Graham. It matters not to me at this point what your feelings about him one way or the other, or politically. Parenthetical insertion here, it has now become a political death. End of parenthetical insertion. And it matters not to me about that. But what does matter to me is that he served honorably and long in the U.S. Air Force in the as a JAG, Judge Advocate General, in other words, a lawyer, and for, I believe, about 30 years in the Air Force Reserve, and the Air National Guard. I honor his service, just like I honor the service of every one of us who has served and who has crossed the bar. I do not know what Air Force or aviation people call what we sailors call crossing the bar. But whatever it is, it sounds to me as if Colonel Graham's crossing was a relatively quick and easy one. In terms of those who are on the binnacle list and are dealing and struggling with several conditions, know that, as always, you are in the palm of my hand, and that my concern for you is much greater than it is for myself. And I am sending to you the concentrated energy from all of Captain Joe's people, all of the people that are on the Coast Guard channel, to help you know that all of us are thinking about you and sending that energy to you. The 9250 has been put into the lube cups on the prayer wheel, and that all of these things are headed your way, so that knowing that you are following the instructions of your medical practitioner, your medical professional, that you will once again be ready to come back on full duty and leave the binnacle list in the approved fashion. And now I've got to take a quick sip of the restorative fluid. There we go. So, in my own situation, last week I was in that meeting with Dr. Kim, my Korean surgeon, who is going to do the surgical part of the triumvirate. And it got started late, and it went on longer than I had anticipated, and was not able to even broadcast remotely, as I have done often from other places in the world. The prognosis continues to be good, and the beginning of the actual treatment, beyond what I'm already doing, which is already one of the chemicals, because I'm dealing now with a cancer both in the Arctic and in the Antarctic ends of my body. And tomorrow we're going to do a PET scan. I don't know what PET stands for, but I do know it's a full body scan to see if there is any more spreading, any more metastasizing beyond what we already know about. I remain confident and cheerful, as always, that either nothing additional will be found, or if it is, we just add it on to the operations order, the op order, and we deal with it. We confront it head on. You should be aware that lookouts are posted as far forward in the eyes of the ship as is practicable to warn your captain and now Dr. Kim of any dangers ahead. How am I feeling today? I'm feeling really good today, except that I can hardly hear. I practically lost all of my hearing. And there is some discomfort around the place where the tumor is. The swallowing is doing better. And I am fully of fully good cheer. I'm fully up in the captain's chair. I'm fully in command. And I am carrying on with all of my activities. I've kept the month of July clear for whatever fun and frolic may ensue and can move any of my commitments around. But I'm going to help with I'm going to have the lighthouse open for a wedding on Saturday. On Sunday, I'm going to work with the counselor to broadcast the car parade here on the island. And the, let's see, what else have I got? There's several other things that are on the, on old Mr. Calendar. I wish I still had a yeoman to keep track of all of those things. I'm falling woefully behind on much of my correspondence. But I am getting caught up, and one of the reasons that I'm getting caught up is that there is a little bit of a hiatus in getting started with the treatment program, and that's because the administrative side of all of this is balking us just a little bit. I am actually amazed, aghast, and appalled that for people who are in desperate straits, and I am not in desperate straits, but people who are in desperate straits that need immediate attention, that sometimes that immediate attention is held off until their insurance provider can give authorization to do it. I'm not going to get into that right now. I'll probably have more to say about it as my own situation evolves. I just want everybody to know that I am indeed the most fortunate of men. I'm being taken care of by an incredible group of people. They're doing the very best that they can to move aside the administrative side of it. And the proof of all that is that I am up here with you. I will be here next week unless something untoward happens. And I will be here every Tuesday afternoon at 12:30 Pacific time. So moving on from the binnacle list, that was getting into the weeds, as my friend Pammy sometimes tells me, more than I had intended, because I've got a couple of things that I want to and am going to cover today. Parenthetical insertion here. The incredible support from people all over the world that comes to me on an hourly basis is incredibly, using that word again, incredibly, incredibly stiffening and strengthening to me. I like to think that I can manage everything, and I am managing everything without any help. But then I realize that I am getting help every single minute, and it's coming from all of you out there who send me constant reminders of your love and regard and respect. It sometimes feels to me as if the entire world of Captain Joe's people all want to be a part of this adventure, and I'm trying to keep up with it as best as I can to let you know what's going on without sending you to other programs, without boring you or telling you more than you really need or want to know. There's a balance there, and I'm trying to, and I think I'm being pretty successful at at doing that. So my week last week was one that was full of good events, which tell me once again how fortunate that I am. And I want some of that good fortune, I want all of that good fortune to come through the great searchlight You all know the big searchlights that we always have up on the bridge deck or above the bridge deck on all of our cutters. I want the searchlight of all of these good things to be a part of your life as well. And when you think that maybe you're getting just a little bit down, reflect on the good things that you have done for other people, because that's part of being a shipmate. Snuck that one in on you. So my week last week started off, of course, with my visit with Dr. King. We've already talked about that. And and that had followed with scan, the CT scan, which mapped out the size of the tumor in my head. So we met with Dr. Kim, and then I had a, let's see here, I'm looking at my notes. Okay, so then the next thing that happened was that I went to a meeting of the Council of American Master Mariners, one of my favorite groups, and this is their local chapter. And it is a group of people, and to belong to this particular organization, you have to be a fully voting and dues-paying member. You have to be a captain or served as a captain. So there are people there who in the group who are not captains, but they are not full-fledged members. And this is a particularly interesting group because only a couple of them are still going to sea. Most of them are retired, like your captain. And the stories that come out of these are just wonderful, wonderful stories. And they all come from the captain's chair. Now, of course, there is a little bit of arrogance there, what I choose to call appropriate arrogance. But every one of us in this group are people who have worked their way up through the command ranks and sit firmly in their own captain's chairs. So one of the things that happened during this particular meeting was that I was presented with the book of this week, and the book is called The Men of the Menkar, U.S. Coast Guard World War II Naval Exploits, a memoir from Captain Niels Peter Thompson, USCG, retired. I do not know whether this book is findable anymore. It appears to me as if it was privately printed. And Menkar was one of the attack transports that the Coast Guard manned in World War II. And it in particular talks about her exploits in the invasions of the Guadalcanal and the Solomon Islands. Guadalcanal, of course, is where Doug Monroe lost his life and earned the Medal of Honor. And there are lists of at that particular there are lists of the other awards. Interestingly enough, Menkar was a Liberty ship, and it is an incredibly interesting book. The photographs, the reprints of official documents and messages. All of these things are in this book called Men of the Menkar. And what I was especially touched by was that one of the Merchant Marine captains, the secretary of this particular chapter, had gone into his own library and found this and knew that it would be significant to me. And he made a presentation of it and of another book. And it is things like that that mean so much to me to have happen. It was just a great, and all of these are Captain Joe's people now, and they are all sending their particular warmest, best wishes and concern. And they also want to know everything. It seems to me like all of Captain Joe's people just want to be a part of this adventure. So that was that. And then at the end of that, I think it was on the same day, I had pulled into a car park on the island to go over some notes. And I did not clear my stern, and I backed into and touched briefly but significantly the bumper of a black sport utility vehicle. It is no question but who is at fault here, and it was not the black SUV. It was as if I had driven, or as if I had backed Ingham out into the Elizabeth River and had not correctly checked the turn just above the river to make sure that there wasn't a tug and tow coming down when I backed out. That's exactly what happened here. That's the metaphor for it. I thought whoever is in that vehicle is rightly going to be really unhappy with your captain. She came over. It was a lovely young lady. And she, first of all, was concerned that we were all right. We were. It was actually such a soft kiss that there's only, I hope, some paint damage. But instead of venting her anger, her justified anger, she said, I'm so sorry. I'm on my way to pick up my daughter at swimming. So here, not only had I impeded her progress, I had impeded her collection of her daughter, and I had caused unnecessary activity with either a claims process on her part with Liberty Mutual and the EMU, and on my part with USAA, or if it is of small enough value, then I will cover it personally. And we had such a gracious exchange. It tells me once again that there are people out there who are more concerned about the people around them than themselves. And that's the definition of being a shipmate. There you go. You get it again. Her name is Kelsey, and Kelsey and I have now exchanged a couple of very cheerful and interesting emails. I asked Kelsey if she would come on my broadcast, and she said she would. And so we are going to have Kelsey, the victim of this horrific collision in the middle of a car park on the magical Isle of Vashon. Kelsey is going to come here, and she is going to, if she follows my wishes, and most people do, she will wear the blue shoes that she wore on the day of our first contact. So, Kelsey, if you are listening, I've just established between us a contract. That contract is that you will come on the broadcast. You will talk to Captain Joe's people all over the world. You and I will reenact our collision. And I will tell you how we're coming on the progress. And you will get a chance to say anything that you want. Any disparaging remarks that you want about older captains driving still. And that is what I have to say about all of that. I've got just a few minutes left, but I have taken more time than probably I should to reassure all of you that we are on course, but we are behind the ETA. And so here are a couple things that I have on my clipboard, not my aluminum clipboard, but my other one. The from the captain's chair clipboard. And that has to do, first of all, in the Arctic. The Chinese have now deployed 4 polar research ships into the Arctic. I've seen photographs of one of them. They look to me to be very capable and able icebreakers. And I repeat my urging that there be some kind of compact established which would manage all of this. The equivalent in the Antarctic is called the Scientific Committee for Antarctic Research. It is headquartered in the Scott Polar Research Institute, which is my intellectual home, and the University of Cambridge. And I am urging that some sort of compact like that be established to regulate and to make sure that research is being done for the good of mankind and not in particular for some particular national interest. I can tell you it can be done, it has been done, and it could certainly be done in the Arctic if people of political and operational goodwill will get on with it and stop skylarking in the rigging and get on with it and do it. I do not want to see the Arctic be fouled by collisions or by people lobbing water cannon shootings at each other or lobbing potatoes at each other or, God forbid, missiles, lethal missiles. That's not the way we should be taking care of the world that we all share. So that's the first thing that comes to me. The next thing that comes is about the Panama Canal. The Panama Canal is having to restrict the draft of ships that go through the canal because the water supply, in particular in Gatun Lake, which is the lake that provides the water for the raising and lowering of ships in the canal. And here I have to take another quick sip, even though I only have a couple of minutes left. So they're having to restrict the draft, and that means that smaller ships will have to be allowed through and the larger ones restricted. This will have an effect on international trade, just like in the Straits of Hormuz. And next week, I'm going to talk a little bit more in detail about the Strait of Hormuz, because if there was ever a situation that cries for some international oversight and command and control, that one is it. And nobody seems to want to do anything about it except to throw lethal things at each other and kill each other, because there have been some killings now on merchant ships that have been hit. And I just want to see and can help them out on getting an international control organization over that vital waterway. The Bollinger, the first of the Arctic security cutters. I am not too sure about that particular ship, but now Bollinger has been given a contract to build some medium landing craft for the Marine Corps. I hope Bollinger is not going overboard in bidding, underboard in underbidding, and taking on more work than they can handle down there in the bayous near New Orleans. We've come once again to the end of our time together all too quickly. This is, as always, we say never say goodbye. We say until we meet again. And as always, all of you, all of Captain Joe's people are in the palm of my hand. And know that I am in a good situation, good position right now. We'll tell you when it gets better. We'll tell you when it gets worse, if it does, which I don't expect to allow to have happen. And as always, this is your Captain Joe. I'm on station and watching properly.